Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Did somebody change Christmas to September? Or has Pastor lost his marbles? I know what you're thinking. Don't say it. You know, the truth is, no one knows exactly the exact date of the birth of Christ. However, the impact of Jesus on the world was so great that the early church fathers took what they knew about the timeline of Jesus' life, and they set Christmas for the 25th of December, as you well know. So while it might not be Christmas today, it is the first time the lowly shepherds watching their flocks by night had an angel of the Lord appear to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day on the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with them the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, I say singing, because it was rejoicing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is well pleased." Well, you might be thinking, why would we need a Savior? You know, these shepherds were out in their fields just going through their daily routine, much like we do, trying to make sense out of all the challenges we face in this life. I often hear, and I imagine you hear it too, folks will say, why does this life have to be so difficult? We toil to make a living for our family. We try to get along with our neighbors. We mind our own business, but somehow trouble comes our way. We can look for a host of earthly reasons why this is so, but Scripture makes it real simple. In the Garden of Eden, sin entered the world. The relationship between God and man was broken. And not only were we estranged from God, but from each other. The world became a place of tooth and claw. What happened in the garden intensified when Cain killed his brother Abel. And from that point on, we see the impact of the seven deadly sins upon each one of us. Those are pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, and sloth every day. See how God addressed our situation through the prophet Ezekiel. He says, "As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddled with your feet?" Israel's problem really is the same problem we all face today, isn't it? How easy would it be to say that God just left us to our own demise? But nothing is further from the truth. The truth is, we walked away from God. We chose judgment over obedience to God. And since then, we have earned our condemnation. Now you might think, hey, I'm a good person. We follow the rules, so we think. We don't abuse drugs or alcohol. We treat our family members and friends with love and respect. Oh, do I hear some thoughts that maybe the temptation to fall into one of the seven deadly sins may be standing at your door? You know, there's an old expression that says, opportunity knocks, temptation leans on the doorbell. Don't we know it? And sometimes that temptation, whatever it may be, is often too great for us to avoid. And it makes us fall into the trap of thinking, well, this is going to make me feel better. But it doesn't. Maybe momentarily. And in this deception, with God's help, we see that our disobedience to God has brought sin, corruption, and death. Hey, Pastor, let's talk about Christmas again. Remember? The angels singing glory to God in the highest, the joyous songs, the happy expressions of goodwill. Okay, let's talk about Christmas, the reason for the season. Christ came into the world to seek and to save the lost. That's not just for people who are locationally challenged, we might say, but for every man, woman, and child who are lost spiritually as a result of sin. The good news is that Jesus proclaims that he came to seek and save the lost. He came to seek you and me, to restore the broken relationship we have with God, and to renew a right spirit within us, to die on an old rugged cross to pay the debt of our sin, and to give us a sign in that cross that we have been found. Glory to God. There is nothing more glorious as to be able to sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found." That's what the gospel reading is all about today. If you read between the lines, Jesus is illustrating his ministry to us. The shepherd, Jesus, goes out to find the one lost sheep. He goes after the one that is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, think heavenly hosts, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost." And Jesus tags on this awesome perspective of heaven, "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And we all know, Isaiah tells us that there is no one who is righteous, not even one. Jesus follows that first illustration with a second one about a woman who has lost one of her 10 coins. She lights a lamp. She sweeps her house, seeking diligently until she finds it. This is precisely what Jesus has done for us. He pursues the lost diligently until he finds us. And when the woman finds the lost coin, she then gathers together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me. I've found the coin that I lost." Jesus then restates his main idea, saying, "Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There it is. Our connection to Christmas and rejoicing angels. Why are they rejoicing again and again? Because Christ came 2,000 years ago, but he continues his great pursuit of every lost soul until he finds them. Being found means knowing Christ who came to be your Savior and Redeemer. He has bought and paid for our redemption by the innocent suffering and his death, and in doing so, has rescued us from the dreaded day of judgment. But does this change the fact that we still live in this corrupt world? Absolutely it does. The person without Christ is a person without hope in this world. Whereas the person who repents and turns to Christ, believes in his word, and sets in motion a chorus of praise in the heavenly realms. Every time. Hark, the herald angels sing again and again and again. And with every soul that is diligently sought and found, they sing it over and over again. Glory to God in the highest, and peace among those with whom he is pleased. So what's our response to the lost being found? Should we not be rejoicing with the angels? Should not our praise be joined to the heavenly chorus when a child like Zuri today is washed in the waters of holy baptism? Oh yeah, I know it's not Christmas, liturgically speaking, but today is Christmas for our family, and we praise God not just for the gift of this precious child, but for our God in heaven who sent his precious Son, Jesus, to bring salvation, redemption, and hope to this little child. Hark, the herald angels sing, again, glory to the newborn King. In Jesus' name, amen.